All right, welcome everybody to this week's investment review. We've had a ton going on last week. I think, you know, we've seen GameStop and some of these meme stocks just go to the moon and crash back down again. It seems like that's been going on for a long time, but believe it or not, it's only about a week. So we've seen the market really kind of pick up some volatility from a lot of that trading. And when we look at some of the indicators, it's kind of a mixed bag right now. So on the, you know, one thing on the positive side, I believe it was yesterday or the day before, we saw zero new lows on the NYSE. So from a breadth standpoint, that's actually, a really good thing. And that doesn't happen a lot. So that was one kind of interesting tidbit that we pulled out of there. But some of the intermediate term indicators have reversed back into O's with last week's correction. So like BPNYSC is in O's, BPOTC, BPSPX is in O's, but still above 50. And so these indicators have reversed down, but they're not in positions yet where we're really concerned about the market falling apart. So when a lot of these breadth indicators reverse from high levels, it is a narrowing of the market. It's not necessarily time to raise a ton of cash. Obviously, if you have individual positions that are breaking down, you need to take care of those. But the market can still continue higher with some of these breadth indicators in O's as long as they remain at high levels. And on the positive side, again, the NYSE high low, that still remains up at 98 and in X's. The positive trends are still in X's. So we're maybe seeing a narrowing here, but we're not at the point where we're seeing these indicators falling apart and really showing us that we need to get very, very defensive here. On a major index side, you know, we saw pullbacks last week, but yesterday's action, a lot of those point and figure charts reversed back up to register short-term breakouts. They're not breaking out to new highs yet, but they have corrected some of last week's action. So that's good to see as well. So from an overall relative strength and asset allocation standpoint, we'll bring Jay in to kind of go through what we're seeing in the Dolly asset allocation tool.
Yeah, John, I mean, from a macro perspective, you continue to see pretty similar sentiment there in terms of equities, by and large, are continuing to improve, continuing to show strength relative to other asset classes, with U.S. equities still at number one, international equities sitting in there at number two. To the comment earlier about kind of the narrowing and potentially changing of leadership, there has been some interesting rotation underneath the surface there, and over the course of really the past few months, one of the things that we've been seeing is small caps just continue to improve. Small cap growth being the number one ranked style box, small cap core being number three. So small cap is just an area that continues to improve there. And then from a sector level, you've seen some interesting movement. We've seen energy and basic materials move up into the top four positions there. You've got consumer discretionary, technology one and two, but energy, basic materials, the more commodity related sectors have moved up into the top four within those within the sector ranks. And what we saw interesting too, not directly tied to Dolly, but as a function of the improvement in commodity related sectors, specifically energy and materials, in one of the ETF models that we have, the DWA Power 4 or the Sector 4 model, that model just recently changed at the beginning of this month to include energy and basic materials into that model. So PXI is the Invesco DWA Momentum Energy ETF, was just added earlier this month, as a matter of fact, this week, as well as PYZ, which is the Invesco DWA Materials ETF. So those two ETFs were added to that Sector 4 model, joining discretionary and healthcare, rounding out the top four of that. So in terms of you know, changes that we're seeing underneath the surface on the broad brush, you know, equities continue to remain strong, but there certainly are changes developing underneath the surface. And that kind of theme of commodity-related stuff really has been seen not only on the equity side, but from the commodity asset class in Dolly as well. Commodities as an asset class still sits at number three, but it has been the most improved asset class that we've seen this year picking up a number of net new buy signals just this year. So even since, you know, just over a month now, the commodity asset class has picked up over 30 buy signals, started the year around 160s, now at 193. International equity has picked up as well. So those two asset classes are the only two that have actually added net new buy signals this year, with commodities leading the charge there. And that comes, you know, again, as you're seeing a lot of these other crumbs of evidence or pieces of the puzzle beginning to play out of the commodity related stuff, international and in particular emerging markets continuing to do well. All the while you're seeing even crude oil moving just this month, moving back up to $55 a barrel for the first time. Really, you have to go back to January of 2020. So in over a year, crude oil sitting at the highest level that it's seen in over a year now, up double digits on the year, 13%. So, you know, big picture, again, equities remain strong. But certainly the commodity area and commodity related equities are areas to pay attention to and to continue to watch going forward.
All right, great. That's a great overview, Jay. Thanks for that. And we've also seen a number of changes happen with our asset class group scores and on some of the FSM models. We'll bring Steve on to go over some of those changes that he's seeing.
Thank you, John. What we're looking at today is a note on more of the macro asset classes on the upper left, where we can see, as Jay pointed out, commodities move above three and get into the green zone, a highly improved, significantly improving group. But really, the to emerging markets from a macro asset class basis is really nudging, to be the top asset class by a smidgen of a score point. That has been the case for some small period of time. It is the case today. And so that's the truth. You know, and when you're thinking about applying research, you're saying, hey, you know, there are some asset classes that are and new ones that are nudging into leadership. Keep in mind in the lower left-hand table is also a truth. More on a macro. We still see small growth and mid growth and micro caps really pulling a lot of leadership in the U.S. styles. You know, a very significant strength here. It's been the case. It still is the case. And that's what you're faced with as you as the investor and the advisor. You're looking at different truths from different tangents. Now, when we apply this, for example, and take it into a model constraint, we're taking a look here in specific at an all-cap world FSM fund score model that we run that we just updated. And we can see here that we still own the small growth and the mid growth because they've put up the stronger relative strength. The competition in there is pretty fierce. And we can see that emerging markets is trying to compete to be in the top section of this qualified inventory. However, the point is that the score of the emerging markets in specific, this beta one index of the EEM, you know, could not put a score big enough to break into the top two in this area, which is a top two scenario. And so I think that's important to make a comment is that, you know, as we look at the major indicators, often we find we have to apply it to a specific strategy for a client. And that's where the rules come in. And you may find that, yes, in this case, emerging markets is very good, but emerging markets not quite good enough to break into a top two strategy. However, I would like this inventory strategy. And that scenario, the emerging markets is a newcomer into a top five lineup. And there you have it, where emerging markets is breaking into a particular inventory or particular strategy that you run. In summary, it means that you as the advisor are going to see various relative strength or other types of indications amongst all the world. But at some point, that rubber needs to hit the road with a particular strategy, hopefully a rules-based strategy. And that will give you a guiding light of what you own month to month or quarter to quarter as the bigger issues play themselves out. This is the second quarter of the big seasonal season, which starts in November and lasts roughly until May. And so we're still seeing that small growth and mid growth in the U.S., you know, have nudged, you know, in, you know, into that leadership and remain in that leadership, you know, by a nudge. And that's where the rubber meets the road, and we go with that. But keep in mind that as things change, you know, models change, indications change, and you want to be able to convey to your client that you've taken the research, that you've applied the rules, and that you've come up with a recommendation and you have high confidence in what you're doing. John, back to you.
All right. Thanks a lot, Steve. And, you know, when Jay talked about Dolly, when Steve talks about some of these FSM models, they're all based on strength. They're all based on momentum, all based on relative strength. And they will do well when these momentum spreads are moving higher. And these spreads just measure a basket of high momentum securities versus low momentum securities. When they're rising, the leaders are outperforming the laggards. That's what we like to see. These have corrected late last year, consolidated at lower levels, and are moving higher across the board. So domestically, developed markets, emerging markets, those spreads are all very healthy. We're expecting good, healthy momentum markets looking out on intermediate term time horizon since those spreads are rising. And going on to the U.S. dollar, we've talked about how that's been in a downtrend for quite some time, and it has had a little minor breakout here to the upside. Again, this is not anything that we would consider a major trend change yet. This is just a minor resistance level that it has pushed through. We'll monitor that and see if it breaks out and can gain some strength here. But the dollar is definitely kind of consolidating down here. It's moving sideways, and that does kind of interrupt that downtrend. But this is not anything yet that we're looking at that would indicate to us that there is a major reversal where the dollar might start moving higher anytime soon. And breaking into the biggest asset class that we cover, U.S. equities, we'll start on the styles and factors front, and we'll go over to Joe for that.
Yeah, thanks, John. So, you know, we've already touched on it today a little bit, but we still see strength in small and mid caps over large caps, especially small and mid growth. Growth is still favored over value across all sizes. You know, although value looks really strong at the end of last year, going along with that laggard rally that John touched on a little bit earlier with the momentum spreads, we haven't really seen any changes in the rankings in our asset allocation tools like Dolly or the asset class group scores page, where we would, you know, say we have value over growth. And I think during the last week with the market volatility, we can kind of see that. Looking at the 7-day returns for RPG, which is the Invesco S&P Peer Growth ETF, and the Russell 2000 Growth Index, RUO, both had positive returns over the last 7 days, while their value counterparts actually finished down with the RPV, the Invesco S&P Peer Value ETF, was actually down roughly 2% over the last 7 trading days. So despite that big laggard rally we've seen, you know, we necessarily haven't seen value, at least during the volatility that we had last week, hold up as much as growth, which is another sign where we still see that strength in the growth area of the market. Large and mid value continue to round out the bottom of the rankings, both on the asset class group scores page and on Dolly. And then when we move over to factors, we still see momentum and quality factors being favored over value and low volatility factors. And, you know, there was a study done by Russell, and they talked about the impact of economic cycles on the performance of factors, or if, you know, certain factors perform better during certain economic cycles. Interestingly enough, momentum had the least indication of whether the market was, you know, expanding, contracting, slowing down, bottoming out, where value really performed the best when we had an expansionary period after a bottom. And then quality typically did the best when we were in a contractionary environment or near the top of a expansionary move. So we still see quality lead the way over value. You know, we've seen value do really well over the past several months. So we could be entering kind of an expansionary phase where we saw GDP really fall off due to the coronavirus. But as that maybe ticks up, we could see that carry over and have some tailwinds for value moving forward. Like I said earlier, though, we haven't seen anything on our asset allocation tools just yet to signify that kind of change, but it's definitely something to keep in mind as we move forward. And I'll pass it back to you, Joe.
All right, great. Thanks a lot, Joe. And we'll dig into some of these sectors here. We'll start with Ian and technology.
Great. Thank you, John. So in looking at some of the sector moves that we've seen, technology has continued to decline a little bit from a relative strength perspective, at least in looking at the broad Dolly sector rankings that we have there for domestic equities. And well, really, when looking at the comparison between that and consumer cyclicals, we've seen that technology has lost a few buy signals over the course of the past week or so. But consumer cyclicals really kind of gained more buy signals, significantly more than technology has lost. So it's really been more of kind of a static movement for technology there. We continue to have the areas of the semiconductor equipment and hardware lead the way from the relative strength comparisons among the subsector breakdowns there for technology. And we can see that in looking at the broad technology space through the asset class group scores page, that group is still the top ranked individual sector on the group scores page, still the only group above an average score of 5.0. It's been above an average score of 4.5 since May of last year. So very consistent up there towards the top end of those sector rankings. Definitely would still be kind of an overweight area. And we've seen over the course of the past couple of weeks some of this normalization, I guess, in looking at the average overbought, oversold readings from many of the individual funds within that space that didn't do quite as well as maybe some of the other areas has led to some a little bit more normalized trading bands in some of those funds. In looking at some individual names to keep an eye out for, we've actually seen large caps pick up the pace a little bit more than small caps within technology over the course of the past week. Small caps have continued to kind of lead the way over the course of the trailing 30 days, but the past week has seen a little bit more favoring on the large cap side. And within that, we've seen a lot of improvement from some individual software areas within the large cap space. So one ticker to keep an eye on, the ServiceNow ticker NOW. It's a company that does a lot of digital IT services and workflows for companies. So like if you're working from home, need a new laptop, they might be the company behind that that's handling some of that software underneath the hood. We saw that company break out recently, spread triple top break earlier this month, and continue to tick a bit higher and again, not too overbought. Another area more on the kind of hardware side of things to keep an eye out for is Dell. Dell Technologies, ticker DELL, is recently with yesterday's move reverse back up, formed a triple top at 77. And would return to a buy signal with a triple top breakout at 78, which would also mark a new all-time high for that fund. So a couple of areas to keep an eye out for in what is otherwise a strong sector to as we move through the rest of the year here.
All right, great. Thanks a lot, Ian. And we'll go over to Sarah, who'll start with Communication Services.
Thanks, John. So Communication Services continues to rank eighth in our long-term Dolly rankings. Has 128 buy signals right now in its favor, so it has gained one signal over the last week. In terms of just the broad XLC fund today, we actually saw that chart reverse back up into X's where it's formed a double top at 70. So from here, a move to 71 would mark a sixth consecutive buy signal as well as a new all-time high. So definitely something to watch there. And that fund also just experienced a flip to positive monthly momentum. Remains in that blue zone in the asset class group scores page with an average score of 4.36. We're still kind of seeing the strength now from broadcasting and publishing. And again, that weaker decile area is going to be integrated telecom services. So one particular stock that caught my eye this morning following earnings announcements is going to be Alphabet, so GOG. Google completed a third consecutive buy signal yesterday, and with today's action, it hit an all-time high at 2080. And before today's action, it was already up 10% on the year, and that's up another 8% today. So like I said, GOG, one to watch moving forward. But moving on to cyclicals, as Ian mentioned, has continued to gain strength. So 209 buy signals now, up 3 from last week, and it's improving on both a relative and absolute basis. So we've seen that gap widen between consumer cyclicals and technology, as again, cyclicals have strengthened and technology has remained relatively static. So yesterday, XLY, the broad spider fund, matched an all-time high at 170. So, you know, we're one box away from a new all-time high. It's the second best performing broad sector so far this year, right behind energy, just separated by about 6 basis points, up about 5.6%, while the S&P is up 1.87. So weekly and monthly momentum have both flipped positive for XLY. And again, on the asset class group scores page, it is trailing the technology sector or technology group at this time, but it has 4.85 average score. So we're seeing strength from the sector from both a market cap weighted and equal weighted perspective. And then as Jay mentioned earlier, the Power 4 model, which was evaluated earlier this week for the monthly eval, continues to hold PEZ, the momentum fund. That actually is up 14% now year to date, pulled back from an all-time high. And yesterday it has reversed back up into X's. So it's close to giving that fourth consecutive buy signal. But that particular sector showing strength from a momentum standpoint, you know, along with energy, basic materials, and healthcare. Some of the beach stocks we saw pop yesterday, Disney, MGM, Live Nation, and then, you know, Amazon with the hit a 3-month high after a record holiday. Jeff Bezos was announced as stepping down, we saw that particular chart give a fourth consecutive buy signal yesterday before that news. And then two other charts to look out for, Nike and Ulta, both of which have, formed a double top, broke that double bottom, and have since reversed back up to form shakeout patterns. So Nike's would be completed at 148 and Ulta's would complete at 312. And then moving finally onto utilities, 57 buy signals right now still remains in the basement of Dolly, dead last and 11th, did not experience any sort of signal change over the last week. So, just holding steady there in the basement. From a just a sub-industry perspective, again, we've mentioned over the last few calls that, you know, independent power producers continue to rank in that top decile, while the bottom decile has the dead last group, gas utilities. We continue to see that huge dispersion within that sector, but overall, again, weakness within this particular sector.
All right, great. Thanks a lot. We'll move on to healthcare and financials and bring Joe back for those.
Thanks, John. So, healthcare remains an acceptable place to be in Dolly. It's, energy, basic materials, and industrials and healthcare all kind of within 6 signals of each other. So they're all tightly packed together. And, we could see, a few of those to, get some defined leadership here moving forward. But for now, healthcare remains right in the middle of there. It has a average group score above 4.0. So it's still seeing strength in Dolly and on the asset class group scores page. And following the trend of the broader market, we've seen small cap healthcare do better than their large cap counterparts. If we look at the Invesco S&P Small Cap Healthcare ETF, ticker PSCH, that's carrying a 5.67 fund score compared to the Healthcare Select Spider Fund, XLV, which has a fund score of 3.86. I will say that PSCH is in heavily overbought territory. So that's something to keep in mind if you are looking for investment ideas. You may want to wait for a pullback or some price normalization at its current levels before you dive in there. And then one name that looks strong, that's a small cap healthcare stock is Ensign Group, symbol ENSG. It's a 5-for-5er, and it's also a current holding in the DWA healthcare sector portfolio. And it pulled back with the broader market last week. So it's now in much more actionable territory. So if you're looking for long exposure at the current levels, you know, that's an acceptable place to do it there. And we continue to see that the healthcare supplies and healthcare facilities lead the way. Biotech as a broad group is seen near the bottom, but, you know, as we've touched on, there's a lot of individual names within biotech that have done really well lately. So that's something to keep in mind if you're looking for ideas within the sector. We've seen a lot of individual names carry the load. And if we want to move on to financials, which has been, you know, red hot as of recent, you know, we've touched on, they've had extremely high score directions on the asset class group scores page. We've yet to see that really materialize in the Dolly rankings to a point where they're in the green or favorite area. But they have improved vastly over the past several months. And with the market volatility that we saw last week, we saw banks pull back pretty heavily. Now that's not necessarily that banks are weak. They were in, you know, really overextended territory. One fund you could look at is the Spider S&P Bank ETF, symbol KBE. Despite, you know, having a nice little pullback, it still has a fund score of 4.97, and it's in much more actionable territory with an overbought oversold rating of 33%, where just a couple weeks ago it was in way heavily overbought territory, near 100%. So this could be an opportunity for, if you feel like you missed the move in financials and didn't want to get your feet wet at those extended levels, just, you could have an opportunity to do so here. And then, you know, we're still going to keep an eye on those larger names like Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs. They were really overextended, as you touched on last week, but, you know, they've pulled back with the broader market and they're looking to establish new areas of support here moving forward. So those are definitely a place to keep your eyes on moving forward. I'll pass it back to you.
All right, thanks, Joe. We'll keep going through our sectors. We'll bring Will on we'll start with industrials there.
Appreciate it. Yeah, starting with industrials, Joe mentioned they are still in that kind of top green section, if you will, of Dolly, sitting sixth. However, I do want to mention that they have continued to cool and lose a bit of steam prior, 2-3 weeks prior, sitting in the top three. So falling out a little bit into the sixth position, still some strength there. I do want to note that over the last week, that they have been distanced a little bit more from that fifth ranked healthcare group by about 4 relative strength signals now. So still a very tight race in the middle of the pack. I do want to note, and industrials is still in that race. I'm seeking maybe a different perspective on the asset class group scores page. The industrials group is still north of that 4.0 kind of sought after fund score threshold, and it does maintain its positive score direction, albeit that has cooled and is a bit more muted from weeks past. And kind of like other areas of the broad market, like Jay kind of started off with, Joe talked about with size and styles, we're still seeing some strength in smaller sizes in the industrial space. So a fund I mentioned, PSCI, that's the Invesco S&P Small Cap Industrials ETF, is kind of diverging in that sector and had another strong week, relatively speaking, now posting year to date up about 5%. So much stronger than kind of broad exposure in the industrial sector right now. A few bigger names that I did want to mention that we talked about a while back, names like FedEx and UPS, those are also still cooling a little bit. Each of those are sitting on 2 consecutive sell signals on their point and figure chart, still above trend, maintaining strong attributes, but again, showing some signs of recent cooling. On a subsector level in the industrial space. The long exposure is narrowing a bit, I would say. Just a short update on some high RS sectors like machinery and tools and transports, which we've talked about. 67% of stocks in that machinery and tools group are still on point and figure buy signals. Note that is down from 80% last week. So it makes sense. We got a bit of a pullback this week broadly in the market, maybe back some of those names off buy signals, but near 70% still a healthy reading. None of them broke trend lines, though, as we're seeing that 86% of stocks in that sector are still trading in overall positive trends. And average year-to-date performance is still very strong, north of 11%. So notably outperforming most broad equity representatives, as well as XLI, a broad sector representative, which is down about 1% year-to-date. The other kind of high RS sector I wanted to give an update on within industrials is the transports group. So particularly the non-air subsector, average stock on the year still doing very well, up about 12% year to date. So about steady from last week. But do note that now we're seeing about 58% of names on point and figure buy signals. That is also down last week from a reading of 70%. But moving on to our next sector here, talking about consumer staples, we saw a bit of improvement over the past week for this space. It gained 8 relative strength buy signals in our DALI ranking tool, despite the fact that it's still sitting pretty comfortably in the bottom 3 rankings. On the asset class group scores page, the staples sector or the non-cyclicals group is maintaining that negative score direction. And despite the improvement, it still remains out of favor on both rankings there, meaning that it's really going to need greater strength and greater relative price movement to really start to climb rankings in a material fashion. Note some a broad sector representative like the Spider Staples Fund XLP that is down 4% on the year. So it has paid thus far to be underweight broad exposure in that sector. All that said, if you are looking to go long, maybe some concentrated plays would be more advantageous. A few good looking stocks that I did want to reiterate, mentioned a couple last week, Darling Ingredients, ticker DAR, and the Staples Group is maintaining its 5 for 5 rating, as well as Fresh Pet. Both of those are sitting near all-time highs. Estee Lauder, more of a well-known name in the consumer staples group. It reversed up to initiate that actionable point on the shakeout pattern back up into column of X's at 248. So that's another name to take a look at as well within the sector. Moving on, lastly for me here, I'm gonna touch on real estate. And really in this sector, there hasn't been a material change on the high level RS rankings or anything like that. So like the non-cyclicals, the weight of the evidence is still remaining negative broadly for the sector. And note that it is still a laggard on DALI asset class group scores page. Notably on the asset class group scores page, I wanted to reiterate that it's still below that average 3.0 score line. So we talked a lot about breadth in the market, but we're really not seeing a ton of that in the real estate sector here. A ton of strength in breadth, I'll say. So average group score still below 3.0, just above the money market group. Do note that it has a slightly positive score direction, but still not able to climb over any other sector ranks. So all that said, like staples, stock selection or more concentrated exposure is also going to remain key here. A few nice breakouts, though, that I came across yesterday actually were in the real estate sector. So two names, Innovative Industrial Properties, ticker IIPR, as well as Howard Hughes Corporation, HHC. Both of those had nice breakouts and are strong attributes. And with that, I'll pass it back.
All right, great. Thanks a lot, Will. And we'll go over to materials and energy and bring Jamie on for that.
Thanks, John. So materials remains fourth in DALI. It is tied with energy in terms of buy signals, but it's currently losing that tiebreaker. So, pretty close margin between the two. The Select Spider Fund XLB fund score remains stable at a favorable 4.0. Did see several sell signals among across names in the sector this week. One example being DuPont de Nemours, DD, which gave a second consecutive sell signal. Although it's hard to tell at this point whether that is anything sector specific or just due to the market-wide volatility we saw last week. You know, there were no signs of weakness going into the week, so looks like it may just be due to that volatility we saw around the GameStop and AMC short squeeze plays. Overall, the sector continues to favor producers of industrial inputs, metal, forest products, while precious metals continue to be an area of weakness within the sector. Moving on to energy. Energy remains number three in Dolly, just ahead of basic materials. The Energy Select Spider Fund XLE gave a second consecutive sell signal on Wednesday, but then reversed up yesterday. Again, this may be more due to market-wide volatility than any specific weakness within the energy sector, as crude prices have remained stable recently. The XLE fund score remains stable around a 3.8. So again, not seeing any weakness in the fund score there, which again may lend credence to the idea that this is just due to some market-wide volatility, not any specific weakness within the sector. Back to you, John.
All right. Yep. Great. Thanks a lot, Jamie. And that'll wrap up domestic equities for us. We'll move on to the number two spot in Dolly, which is international equities, and we'll bring Ian on for that.
Great. Thank you, John. So like John said, international equity is sitting there at the number two position still. We've seen the asset class lose a few buy signals over the course of the past week, losing five really over the past week, whereas commodities seems to have picked up several. But as a whole, in looking at the breakdown between emerging markets and developed markets, emerging markets still continue to kind of lead the way. You can see on the broad chart of the broad representative EEM shares emerging markets ETF, still sitting at an all-time high that it reached in January at 56 on its default chart on three consecutive buy signals, whereas EFA, the iShares EFA ETF, developed markets representative, has reversed down into a column of O's. From a matching a multi-year high of 75 down to a level of 72. So emerging markets still also continues to lead the way on the asset class group scores page with the non-US breakdown. We have emerging markets diversified and global and international growth both overtaking have both overtaken the core US representative, the S&P 500 index funds group. Both still, all of those sitting above average scores of 4.5, so still in high territory, but that on back of what some of Steve was saying with the movement on the group scores page and then some of the model changes, continuing to see the uptick in scores from many areas in international markets. In looking at some individual country breakdowns, again, emerging markets continues to lead the way for many names that are showing improvement from a relative strength buy signal perspective, but there really haven't been all that many buy signal changes, especially in the top quartile of these rankings. We still have four emerging markets representatives. The rest of the 11 are going to be rounded out by developed markets that have maintained position in that top quartile for most of the past 5 to 6 months. But some other areas that are showing improvement, especially being those Indonesia, Colombia, India, areas that we've touched on pretty frequently over the course of these updates, continuing to show improvement. Another area that is also showing more recent strength or more resurgence, an area we touched on last week that's still ranked low from a relative strength perspective, is China. China is still the largest single country representative in many emerging market benchmarks. And so as we see China continue to pick up the pace a little bit more, those more focused areas that we mentioned last week, areas like China technology, China healthcare, China environmental, are showing a nice upticks recently that is leading to a lot of this kind of furthering strength in emerging markets. So that'll definitely be an area to keep an eye out for to see if that relative strength for China can return. On the back of what Jamie was talking about there too, with a lot of this volatility that we've seen, we have seen that transfer over to some of the areas in emerging markets, especially those high RS areas like Indonesia and India. Some of those areas that might have been a little bit overbought aren't quite as overbought anymore, so it could be a potential place to keep an eye out for as we move through here. So with that, back to you, John.
All right. Thanks a lot, Ian. And we'll move on to another asset class. We'll move to fixed income and then on to commodities with Jamie.
Thanks, John. You know, despite what we saw going on elsewhere in the market, there was not a lot of action within fixed income this week. Treasury yields continue to rise after, you know, kind of exhaling for the last week or two. The 10-year U.S. Treasury yield index reversed up on Friday and currently sits at 1.125% on its default chart. So continuing that theme of rising rates that's been in place for some time now. Continue to see convertible bonds lead the RS rankings, you know, on the back of the strength of the equity market. Meanwhile, treasuries and other U.S. government groups continue to lag the RS rankings. So, yeah, a busy week in the equity market, but, you know, not much in the way of news within fixed income. Moving on to commodities, the big story this week has to be the high volatility in silver. There was speculation about a social media kind of driven short squeeze in silver, which led silver to gain about 10% on Monday, nearly reaching $30 and giving a second consecutive buy signal. It was then down around 10% on Tuesday and is currently trading around $27 where it sits on its default chart. We also saw crude oil hit $55. Which eclipses its high from last February. It is now trading in heavily overbought territory, but continuing to see crude rise, which is a, you know, a tailwind for the oil equities, even though we saw some sell signals in individual names last week.
All right, great. Thanks a lot, Jamie. So there's a lot of good information today. You know, definitely remain overweight equities, both domestically and international. On the domestic side, the growth theme is still really in place and small caps have really picked up steam. So make sure that you've got adequate weight there and probably overweight on the small cap and mid cap growth side. International emerging markets really is the dominant theme there. And then going down into fixed income, you know, we've got some areas in there that are pretty unique that are really leading, things like converts and a lot of equity based stuff. The volatility has really caused some changes in some of our indicators. It's sort of a mixed bag right now, but nothing on the indicator front really shows us that this market is in danger of falling apart anytime soon. We've seen some of the intermediate term indicators reverse to O's, but those are still at levels, at very high levels, where the market can still do well, although it may be narrowing. So what you need to do is when your individual positions break down, you need to take care of those. But this is not something where we want you to go out and sell a bunch of stuff just because an indicator reversed over. So a lot going on this week, a lot of volatility. Hopefully a lot of these meme stocks will die down and the market will kind of get back to normal. And we'll be back next week to go over any changes that we see.